You know, tonight we've announced the subject, Hope for the AIDS Generation. And I want to speak on that based on a passage of the Word of God that's very youthful. Because, you know, the Bible is a young people's book. And I want you to know that God has given us a book that is a young people's book. Now, this is what some call the AIDS Generation. And you know, all of us have to face this fact. Tonight, I received a letter as I came here. And a mother told me this. She said, Luis, you're going to talk about AIDS. He said, I want you to help us understand as Christians how to handle it even in the churches. And then let me tell you her story. I don't think she'll mind giving you not names, but some of the details. She says, I am a Christian woman, currently alone because her husband has left, with three children, two boys, 1-year-old girl. After the birth of my daughter, I found out that my husband has full-blown AIDS. Further testing cleared my boys and revealed myself as a carrier, and as yet the tests on my daughter are inconclusive. It can go either way. When she was almost 6 months old, I was asked not to put her in the church nursery. This has inhibited my own opportunities for fellowship. Now here's an innocent child, an innocent baby. We Christians have rightly been very upset at what we consider to be the promotion of AIDS by sinful, immoral lifestyles of citizens in America. And the bill ends up being paid by the rest of us. Some people say they have a right to do what they want with their lifestyle because it's their personal life, whether it's adultery, premarital sex, which biblically is called fornication, or homosexuality, whether male or female. And some people say, it's my right, it's my body, I can do whatever I please. As a matter of fact, no man is an island unto himself, but we're all part of the whole. What we do affects other people. Yes, you may live your lifestyle, but you could infect my little boy or my little grandchild, either through transfusion of blood, or as in the case of this woman, poor thing. Her husband was a husband who produced three children with her. But, obviously, somewhere out there in this awful, sinful world, he committed sexual immorality and brought the virus to his wife and now to the little children. How shameful it is. You know, rather than the AIDS generation, I was thinking today, we should be called, with our heads bowed in shame, the shameless generation. Do you know, fellows and girls, and fathers and mothers, never in the history of America that I know of have we been so shameless about our lifestyle. But this has happened throughout history. Do you know, I was reading one of the old prophets 600 years before Christ. His name is Jeremiah. And you know what he said? He said, the Lord said through Jeremiah, are they ashamed of what they've done? And he answers his own question, no, they're not ashamed. They don't even know how to be ashamed. And boys and girls, fathers and mothers, and especially teenage kids, college men and women, listen, you have inherited the whirlwind that was sown by many of our parents, and you live now in the AIDS generation, the shameless generation. And in despair, people have gone after what is called the New Age movement. The New Age is not new, and it's not of this age. The New Age movement is the old demonism, the old Satanism, the old barbarism of going back to the jungle, back to worshiping the sun and the moon and false gods. You say, well, Luis, you're getting awfully worked up. You better believe it. I'm worked up because, like my wife said this afternoon, having a cup of tea, she said, you know, if only 20% of Americans are into the New Age, think of all the demons that are loose on America today. And I agree with my wife. And young people tonight, I'm speaking to you especially, but it's to all of us, parents and grandparents, middle age and older age, but especially the young people. The AIDS generation doesn't have to hurt you at all. The Lord Jesus will protect you. God will be with you. You don't have to be destroyed as a young man, as a young woman. No way. Jesus Christ came into the world to help young people, to protect young people, to guard us. He guarded me. He guarded my wife. And the Lord can take care of you as a young man, as a young woman. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Now, I want to read tonight one of the great youth chapters of the Bible. It isn't too long. Just listen carefully. It's Genesis 39. And I'm going to read it with all the enthusiasm I can. It's the story of one young man. His name is Joseph. And Joseph was tempted just like every teenager and every man and woman is tempted in the world today. But look, first, he was a successful young man. He was a slave, but he was successful. Secondly, even though he was successful, notice when I read, he was tremendously tempted by a married woman. He was only 18 years old, as far as I can tell. And you know, Joseph was tempted more strongly than most of us could ever be tempted. He was tempted. But he came out victorious. And I want you to see that too. So listen to the reading of the Word of God and let the Word of God speak to your heart as a young woman, as a young man, and also fathers and mothers. Listen to this. Now, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought Joseph from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. But the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with Joseph, and that the Lord gave Joseph success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his assistant. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything that he owned. From the time that the master put Joseph in charge of his household and of everything he owned, listen, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything that Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything that he had. With Joseph in charge, he didn't concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now here comes the temptation. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said to him, "Come to bed with me." But Joseph refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master doesn't concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And although the woman spoke to Joseph day after day, Joseph refused to go to bed with her or even to be with her. One day, Joseph went into the house to take care of his duties, and no one in the house of the servants was inside. She caught Joseph by his coat and said, "Joseph, come to bed with me." But Joseph left his coat in her hand and ran out of the house. When the woman saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called the household servants and shouted, "Look," she said to them, "this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. And when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house." When his master heard the story that his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But listen again. With Joseph was in the prison, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord showed him kindness, and the Lord granted Joseph favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those that he held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done in the prison. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph, and gave him success in whatever he did. Now here you find a young fellow, as so many young men today, and so many of us, men and women of all ages, tempted in a most unusual way. And he had to make a big decision. And tonight, you have to make a decision. You know, the three biggest decisions that every teenager and every man and woman has to make are these. First, the decision to surrender to Jesus Christ. That will determine your destiny. And what you do with Jesus Christ will determine where you go for eternity. That's the most important decision of your life. The second in this generation is the decision of sexual purity. Even if you give your life to Christ, but you fall for the temptations of the world, or you allow peer pressure to get you, and you go off and have sexual contact with someone other than your wife or husband, you are getting stained, and you are not going to be a successful Christian at all. And you're going to live a very unhappy life. Even if you give your life to Christ first, and then you don't live overcoming sexual temptation, listen, you're going to hurt. You're going to get into trouble. Purity, sexual purity. And then the third thing is, who are you going to marry? And those three decisions will mark your destiny and your life. And that's why I love it on a youth night like tonight, to speak to the young people, but also to the parents, with all my heart. I love to open my heart and draw you to Jesus Christ. First, when I give you the invitation tonight, you come, men and women and teenagers, and say, "Oh Jesus, I surrender to you, body, soul, and spirit." Then, your second decision that I'll invite you tonight, "Lord Jesus, I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want to keep my body for you. I'm willing to get married if you give me a spouse, but I will not play with sexual immorality. And I will never do it, even after I'm married or before I'm married. Jesus, I want to be pure. I want to be holy. I want you to look down from heaven and say, 'I love that girl. I love that fellow. And I will use that woman and I will use that young man to touch the world.'" You know, some people say they're bored. That's why they need to have a drink. That's why they gotta have pills. I want to tell you, young fellows and girls, I am so glad that I surrendered my life to Jesus, that I surrendered to be pure, and I surrendered to get married only with a Christian girl. And the Lord's been so good to use me from a little town in Argentina to take the gospel to Russia, to India, to China. And I believe that He can take every man and woman that's here today, especially the young. Listen. And take you. And the Lord says, "I'll lay my hand on you, man. I'll lay my hand on you, girl." And the Lord says, "Let me take over in your life, and I'll fill you with my Holy Spirit. And I'll fill you with the knowledge of my word, and I'll make you a giant." Now, you know, the beautiful thing about holiness and purity is this. Listen carefully. The Bible says this. God says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I separated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." That's why sex is so sacred. Sex is cooperation between a man and a woman and God Almighty. Because you see, in the birth of a baby, we, father and mother, produce the physical side of things. But God says, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you." The awesome thing about a little child in the mother's womb is that it's a cooperation between a father and a mother and God Almighty. That's why sex is such a beautiful and such a sacred thing. That's why it's so important that we parents be able to teach our boys and girls as well as we can that it's a marvelous thing. That's why sexual immorality is such a travesty, such a dirty thing. Not because sex is wrong. No. God made it. It's a beautiful gift. But it's only beautiful when it's done in love, in marriage, with the blessing of the Lord. Then there are no regrets, no shame, no embarrassment, no bad memories. On the contrary, It's the most beautiful thing in the world. The best memories, the best dreams, the best and most beautiful thing. That is God's plan for every man and every woman. And first of all, you notice that Joseph made his decision when he was very, very young. He must have done his decision when he was 12 or 13 or 14, we don't know. But Joseph was only 18 when this temptation came. But notice this, he was a teenager. He'd been spoiled by his father and mother. He had 11 brothers and a whole stack of sisters. But his father had Joseph as his favorite son. And he gave him extra things that he shouldn't have done. Joseph's dad was not a very good dad. He always favored Joseph. So he went out into life with a disadvantage. Secondly, his brothers envied and hated him because his father had him as a favorite. And then, one day his brothers took Joseph, this was in the old days, and sold him as a slave to the Egyptians for 20 pieces of silver, and sold their brother as a slave. And yet, notice this, even though Joseph was sold as a slave, he was a successful slave. You know why? 7 times it says here, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph, the Lord was with Joseph. That was his secret of success. And you know, the Lord says to you, I want you to prosper. I want you to succeed. I want to bless your life. I want you to enjoy life. I want to make you a very victorious person. But you've got to make the first decision yourself. The Lord says, I can't bless you. I can't use you. I can't give you success if you hold back. But if you surrender to me, the younger the better. But it's never too late. The Lord says, the younger you come to me, the sooner I can bless you. And what happens? Joseph becomes the general manager of the chief of the secret service of the emperor of the Egyptian empire. And Joseph was thrown into the most corrupt society that rotted the face of the earth. Apparently the Egyptian empire in those days was absolutely depraved. And here comes this teenager, all by himself. His father thought he was dead. His mother had died. His brothers didn't talk about it. Here he comes, all by himself, into this rotten society. And what happens? In a few months, his boss looks at him and says, this fellow Joseph, God's hand is on him. He is a successful fellow. I will turn over to him everything I've got. He was a successful fellow. The Lord was with him. And you know, the Bible teaches this, that all of us here today, if we open our heart to Christ, we can say with St. Paul, Christ lives in me, Christ lives in me, Christ lives in me. Can it be said of you tonight, the Lord is with you? You may say, well, Mr. Palau, isn't the Lord everywhere? Therefore, he's with everybody? Oh, there's a difference. Yes, God as creator is anywhere and everywhere. He's omnipresent. But as Savior and Lord, he only is with those who have surrendered their life to him. That's why you see it's so important not just to be religious or to go to church or to be baptized or to take communion. You've got to be very sure that first, you truly have Christ in your heart. Second thing was temptation. Joseph was a successful young man. God was with him. The Lord was with Joseph, the Lord. And you would have thought, oh, what a great life, you know. You've got Jesus Christ, no more temptations, no more sexual hang-ups, no more, you know, attraction to the opposite sex. And a good girl goes walking by and you're just cold as ice, no feelings. That's not the way it is. Some people think, if I give my life to Christ, I'll never be tempted again. I'll be like some saint who's lost his attraction for the opposite sex. Hey, that's not the way it works. The way it works is that temptations come just as before. Sometimes I think that Satan comes after the Christians on purpose and dangles temptation and says, looky here, looky here, you know. He doesn't do it to the unbelievers because the unbelievers are already rolling in the muck. But to the believers, he says, hey Louis, look at that boy. He does it, you know. I used to think when I was young, I just want to find my wife, get married, get it over with, and stop thinking these thoughts and preach the gospel. Well, I found my wife, and we got married, and it's wonderful. But once in a while, temptation returns. You say, why does God allow temptation? First, temptation makes life exciting. Can you imagine how boring life would be if you would be like a wet dish rag, just, you know, never tempted, nothing ever happens? Wow, what a boring life that would be. But temptation makes it like walking a tightrope, you know? Like those guys in the circus, and they go, yeah, it looks like they're going, and they make it, and yeah, you're going the other way. Temptation. And you know, people watch Christians and they say, is he going to fall or is he not going to fall? Is he going to fall that tightrope or not? Temptation makes life exciting. Second, temptation makes life dangerous. Thirdly, temptation builds character. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. There's a difference between temptation and sin. Temptation is the attraction to do something wrong. Sin is when you fall for it. So don't confuse the two. Don't go around feeling guilty because you are tempted. To be tempted is natural. What you don't want to do is fall. You say, Luis, how can I not fall? By the power of Jesus Christ? By the power of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Fourthly, temptation is there to be conquered. When there's temptation, that's what makes life exciting, the Christian life. You see, the non-Christians fall into temptation. I didn't even know that they fell. No, I don't mean sexual. I mean, there's many other kinds of temptation. But the Christian wants to conquer temptation. And temptation develops self-control. The Bible says one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is that it builds your character. Listen to this. It builds your character because it teaches you self-control. And the Holy Spirit gives you power. And you say, yes, 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 I see that temptation. No way. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the answer is no, no, no. There's power in following Jesus Christ. You shall receive power, the Bible says. Power, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then there are three temptations. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The flesh are the inner temptations that come from inside. The world are the temptations of your peers and all the system of the world. Do this because everybody does it. No, that's the world. And then the devil. The devil is more subtle. Sometimes he attacks your flesh. Sometimes he attacks you by peer pressure. But those three enemies are there. And you know, Jesus, the blessed Son of God, who came down to bless you and save you, he was tempted in every way like we are. Did you know that? Jesus was tempted every way, the Bible says. He knows your sexual temptations because the Bible says he was tempted in every way, just like we are. But he never fell. Jesus was tempted to hate his enemies, but he never hated them because he was the powerful Son of God. Jesus was tempted to take revenge when they spat on him and they slapped him around. You remember when they were going to take him to the cross? And somebody, you know what he said? He said, don't you think I could call 100,000 angels? Jesus said. And blow away these Roman soldiers? Of course he could have. But that would have been revenge. And Jesus was tempted every way that you are. I don't care what your temptation is. Jesus went through it. But he never committed a sin. Therefore, you see, when you open your heart to Jesus Christ, listen carefully, eh? He comes into your heart to live. Literally, he comes into your heart by the Holy Spirit. And because he was tempted in every way that you and I are, he knows all your thoughts. He knows all your temptations. Even the slightest little nuances of temptation, the little inclination to sin, he knows all about it because he indwells you. And he's most sensitive. And he's got all the power. And just as Jesus overcame temptation, now he lives within us by his Spirit, and we can overcome temptation too. That's the beauty of having Jesus Christ in your heart. And you know something else? Temptation is an opportunity, listen to this, to cooperate with God. To cooperate with God. When temptation comes, you say, Lord Jesus, look at that. You see what I see? And the Lord says, you better believe I see what you see. And then you say, Lord, I do not want to fall in this temptation. With your power, I shall not. And the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Because you are not under the law, but under the goodness and grace of God. Sin shall not have... And you know what the Bible says? It says, God will plaster Satan under your feet.
He'll plaster Satan.
You come to Jesus Christ as a man or a woman, as a teenager, young people. Come to Christ, and like Joseph, you will be able to overcome temptation. Joseph was tempted in a big way. I won't go into the details, but you remember the reading. This woman was married, and you teenagers, you may say, gee, I thought married people weren't tempted anymore. Forget it. They are. And this married woman, the Bible says, first of all, cast his eyes on Joseph, her eyes on Joseph. Temptation usually comes through the eyes. She saw Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was handsome and good looking. Satan came and put it in this woman's heart and said, looky, looky, your husband's assistant is a good looking man. Your husband's on a trip. He always travels. He leaves you alone. Go for him. If you feel like it, do it. Everybody's doing it here in the Egyptian Empire. Go ahead. Take him. You do it. He's lonely. He's a teenager. His parents are all far away. He's got nothing to do. Go for him. And the woman did it. And the Bible says that she was sensuous. She went to Joseph and said, Joseph, come to bed with me. That's what the Bible says. And then the Bible says that she was persistent. Day after day, she went after Joseph. You know, it's easy to overcome a temptation once. What a tremendous pressure when you're in a situation where somebody's after you. Day after day after day. And yet, day after day, good old Joseph, only 18 years old, he said, no, 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 no. And then this woman had accommodating tactics. The Bible says that when she realized that Joseph wasn't going to go to bed with her, she said to him, well then, let's just be together, Joseph. Okay, so your religious convictions don't let you do it. Let's just be together. Let's have a little, you know, just a little fun. Knowing full well that if you start coochie-coochie, after a while, you fall, don't you? And she was a smart, evil little woman. And then, on another trip, when her husband was gone again, the Bible says, this is not my invention, it says that Joseph, this woman came and grabbed him by his coat. When there was no one in the house, I believe she made a plan and got rid of all the servants that day. And she said to herself, I'm going to get Joseph. It's the last thing I do. The Bible says she grabbed him by his coat and said, come on, Joseph, sleep with me. I tell you, that's tough for an 18-year-old young man. But what did Joseph do? God gave him victory. Did you notice the steps he took? Joseph protected himself. And look at the measures he took so as not to fall into temptation. And again, look at the secret in Joseph's life. And you know, the first step was decision. Somewhere in his youth, Joseph made a decision. God is first in my life. I will not fall into sexual impurity. I will wait till I marry my one and only wife. The Bible says that he said, he refused, verse 10 says, he refused. In other words, instantly, the moment of temptation, just like that, Joseph had made his decision several years before. So, when the moment of temptation comes, it was easy for him to say, no, I refuse. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to be pure. And you know, the Bible teaches that you should make that decision now. You say, hey, Louis, what about me, man? I didn't know this stuff that you're talking about. Or you may say, I knew it, but I blew it. What can I do? You can come and be washed and be cleansed and be forgiven. You can start life over again. It won't be 100%. No, it can't be 100% like it is when you give your life to Jesus young, before sin messes you up and Satan trips you up. But hey, it is a fresh beginning. And it's like being born again. Some of the problems in your past, perhaps, are unresolvable. Forgiven, yes, but you scramble some eggs and you can't unscramble scrambled eggs. There are some things you cannot redo, but you can start life over again. That's the beauty of Jesus, you see. He takes people who've messed up their life and says, hey, it's okay. I love you anyway. I died for you. I'll pick you up. I'll make you over.
come, let me come into your heart.
Yes, come. If you've messed up in your past, don't let that hold you back. You come to Christ and say, Lord, I want to start over again. But how beautiful for the young people here tonight. Satan hasn't messed you up yet. Kids, men, women, young people, college age, come to God through Jesus Christ and say, Dear God, thank you for protecting me. Thank you for your mercy. I want to be like Joseph. I want to get out of there and overcome temptation. Secondly, Joseph says his soul revolted at the idea of going to bed with this woman. He says this would be treachery. He says, your husband has given me everything in this place to manage, but not you, because you are his wife. In other words, he was a teenager, but it was as clear as daylight in his mind that God said, Joseph, don't do it. What a beautiful soul was Joseph. And then thirdly, his intellect was clear. Did you notice what he said? You don't belong to me. You don't belong to me. And in this AIDS generation that we live in, this shameless generation, young men and women and fathers and mothers and even grandparents, we've got to be clear about this. No woman belongs to you unless it's your one and only wife. No man belongs to you while either of you are alive until death separates you. That's the way to freedom. And you've got to have your mind clear. And then Joseph says, how could I do this great wickedness? In other words, Joseph was only a teenager, but he knew that it was a wicked thing to do, an evil thing to do. Have you settled that, girls, fellows? Have you settled that anything outside of marriage is wicked and evil, and it hurts the other people, and it hurts you, and it hates society? Why do we have social diseases, gonorrhea, syphilis, AIDS, herpes, that has brought so much havoc to the world and costs millions of dollars and breaks families? Why? Because we break this command. Because we just play games and then we pay dearly for it in a thousand ways. And then the Bible says this, be holy for I am holy, says the Lord. The Bible says, happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Bible says, we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says, Christ lives in me. The Bible says, guard your heart with all speed, because out of your heart flow the issues of life. And what the Lord is saying to you on this Saturday night is this, give me your heart. Give me your life. I will purify your past failures. I'll forgive you of all your sins. I'll give you the Holy Spirit. And if you let me come in, I'll protect you. I'll give you self-control. I'll give you joy. I'll give you power. You'll be my child. You'll live. And I will guide all your life. You say, but Luis, if this is the way of life, it's difficult. I'm afraid. The Lord says, don't fear. I am with you. Don't be afraid. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So young people tonight on this youth night, and fathers and mothers, come to Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that our God, great God and Savior Jesus Christ, gave himself for us to set us free from all iniquity. And listen to this, to purify for himself a people of his own. Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross, our God and Savior. He died to purify us from all impurity and to set us free from all evil. He's a great Savior, you know. And he didn't just die on the cross. He rose from the dead. Yes, Jesus Christ is here tonight. And he says to you, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. The decision is yours. I can't do it for you. Your parents can't do it for you. The priest cannot do it for you. Nobody can. Only you. The decision is yours. Do you want to prosper God's way? Do you want to be successful God's way? Joseph was pure and he was happy. He was not perfect, but he made a commitment to God and to purity. And happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He loved God and he prospered. He became the governor of the Egyptian Empire. Listen, he was sold as a slave for 20 pieces of silver. And before he was 30 years old, he was the governor of the whole Egyptian Empire. Joseph was sold as a slave. Then when he rejected the temptation, his treacherous woman, they put him in jail. It looked like it was all over, but it wasn't. God had a plan. And you know, fellows and girls and men and women, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, He gives us great blessing. God is a faithful God, and He loves you. And you need Jesus Christ tonight. Make a decision right now. You need Him in your heart to forgive you all your past, to remove all the guilt, to wash away all your sin. The Bible says your sins and evil deeds I'll remember no more. Come, open your heart to Christ and say, "That's it, Lord. I want you to forgive all my past." And secondly, you need Jesus Christ to give you power over daily temptation. And He says, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you," says the Lord. The Lord says, "I will be with you always, even to the end of the world." He will never leave you. You say, "But Luis, I could fail tomorrow." No way are you going to fail tomorrow, because now Christ lives in you, and He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, so that you can say confidently, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" If you've gotten loose spiritually, if you've drifted into the world, you come too and make your decision tonight. I'll help you to make your decision. You say, "How shall I do it?" In a moment, we're going to stand for prayer. And then we're going to pray to this living Christ. And as we pray, you surrender your life to Christ, surrender your purity to Christ, and surrender your marriage to Christ. If you're single, your potential future marriage. If you're married, your present marriage. And you say, "Well, Luis, I'm neither single, nor is this my first marriage. Can I do it with my second or third marriage?" Yes. Even if you've gone that far, the Lord says, "I still love you. I made you. I care for you. Come, give me your second marriage. Give me your third marriage." Things will never be quite the same as a beautiful young couple who comes pure and virgin to Christ. But listen, I'll bake you over again. Don't hold back because of past sins. Jesus died for all our sins, past, present, and future. I hope that all of you, my dear friends, even grandmas and grandpas, some of you have been waiting too long, come to Christ. But especially young people and children and college men and women, this is your moment of decision.